Well, it's time to take a look at your lawn. On this edition of Garden Talk, Larry Mueller here with my guest Doug Soldat, turfgrass and urban soil scientist, UW Extension soil scientist, actually. He's in the Department of Soil Science and the College of Ag and Life Sciences at the UW-Madison. We're really pleased to have Doug with us today to talk about the lawn. I was out this morning looking at my lawn. It needs to be mowed. I know that, Doug. And I frankly forgot the Labor Day fertilization. So now I'm wondering, do I fertilize now and then again at Halloween, or do I just let it go?
Yeah, this is a good time to fertilize. This year was a little unique because, of course, we had that extended drought.
And right.
In Labor Day, a lot of the lawns were still brown and dormant right. across the state. So that wouldn't have been a good time to fertilize, even though that's normally what we say. So now would be a good time to fertilize and get that grass covering up some of the spots that stressed out during the summer.
Yeah. All right. Well, I tell you what, already callers online. By the way, you can join in. We have an open line or two yet. So call us if you have a question at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. And, of course, you can email us at talk@wpr.org. And Candy in West Bend is up first. Candy, hello.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
Thanks for taking my call. I actually moved from California, and I am not used to this weather in the least at all, actually. And we bought this house, and it's got a beautiful lawn, but the problem is it's got a whole bunch of weeds everywhere, dandelions, and a whole bunch of weeds that I don't even recognize because, hello, I don't think they grow in California.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what to do. I fertilized it. I weed and feed it. It needs to be mowed, I'm sure, but right now I'm looking at it. And I don't know what to do with it because it's on a really bad slope. And do I reseed it? Will it choke out the weeds?
What percent weeds do you, is it half and half?
Or? It's got about probably 35%. It's more in the front yard than the back.
Okay, well, I think you can work with 35%. So fertilizing is probably only a good idea now, because if you were fertilizing in the summer...
I did it like a week ago.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's a good time.
Mm-hmm.
It's also right now, and it is a good time to start with the weed control. Weed and feed products are granular, and for those to be most effective, they need to stick on the leaf surface. So
if the leaves
weren't wet, chances are that washed down off into the soil and becomes totally ineffective. So liquid sprays are a much better option for this situation.
Just okay.
A general broadleaf herbicide will be your best bet. And then another fertilizer application, because when the weeds start to weaken due to the herbicide, the fertilizer will help the turf kind of fill in those gaps. So this isn't going to be perfect in 1 month. So this is an effort that you're going to have to make over this year and next.
Now,
yeah.
Would you apply that herbicide now, or would you wait?
Well, we generally say around the time of the first frost is the best timing. So now is a little bit early, but given your situation, I would say go ahead with it now.
Okay.
And I'm sorry. Go ahead, Candy.
Is there any specific product? Because I'm looking at a lot of different weeds. I wish I could recognize them myself, but lots of dandelions, some thistles, and a lot of little ones that don't look like broadleaf, supposedly. I don't know.
Well, most of the products are the same. They contain usually three different herbicides that target different plants, and they're even though the labels are different, if you look at the active ingredients, kind of like reading a shampoo label or something, they tend to be three of the same products, even though they have different labels. And those generally will take care of most weeds.
Okay.
So I think that will, if you apply those broadleaf control right now or in the next few weeks, you should start to see some results.
And then on the mowing, I think, you have a recommended height of mowing. I think a lot of people tend to mow too short.
Yeah, exactly. So cultural practices really influence your success here. So mowing high, 3 inches.
3 inches.
Things like that. Not doing everything you can to not stress out the turf is going to allow the turf to outcompete the weeds next year.
Okay, so should I wait until the spring to seed over, or?
Actually, now is a really good, if you have bare spots that you want to seed, the fall is the best time to do that. Do you have large patches that are bare?
I don't have, I have small patches where I've dug out the dandelions because I'm getting sick of the weeds, but I don't have any large, huge patches.
Okay. Well, maybe hold off on the overseeding. That's something that maybe is a little more, it's not too successful if you're just throwing out seed, but you need to actually remove the plant material and work the seed into the soil to be successful. So I think just start off with the fall application of the herbicide and some fertilizer and then.
When did you arrive, Candy?
I arrived in a pregnant state, so I wasn't doing much with my grass, but I was last June, the June before last.
Oh, so you've experienced 100 inches of snow and already. Okay.
Not very funny.
Okay. Well, I was going to warn you, but since you've already experienced, you know what you're in for.
It was ugly. Yeah.
Okay. Good luck.
Thank you.
Call us back next summer. Let us know how it's going.
Absolutely.
I will. Thank you very much.
All right, Candy. Thanks. Oh, boy. Lee and Phillips, your turn. Hi, Lee.
Hello there.
What can we do for you?
I have new seed that's been down for about a month in a new section of the yard. The area is very shaded. Where the existing lawn is, it's always been very thin, and it usually gets mowed maybe three times a summer. The grass that is coming up is about three-quarters of an inch long, and it does get plenty of water. I have straw over that new growth, and my question is, when should I take that straw off?
How much straw do you have, would you say?
It's very thin over the top.
Yeah,
you can see the new grass coming up through it. It's not, it's very green coming up. And I'm wondering if I should maybe even leave it on all winter.
Yeah, that's probably not going to hurt too much. I think usually what we see is people put too much straw on. But if you can see maybe 50% coverage, that's a good rate. Because the danger in removing it now is if you rake it off, you can damage some of those new seedlings.
Right.
So leaving it on is probably your best option at this point.
And do that all winter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Good luck, Lee.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. I had an email from Jolene. Sedum and yarrow won't stand up. Is it just a new cultivar? That's her question. Do you have any idea?
What was the first part?
Sedum and yarrow.
Sedum and yarrow.
Won't stand up. Is it just new cultivars?
Boy.
No idea on that?
No idea. Sedum, isn't that an ornamental?
Mm-hmm. It is. So we're out of luck there.
Yeah.
But here's another one from Jane. To reseed where there is creeping bentgrass, do you do the roots of the bentgrass need to be removed first? Can new seed varieties be planted into an existing lawn? Well, there's a lot of questions here. Mm-hmm. Should plugs from aeration be broken up and raked first or left alone?
Well, let's start with the bentgrass. How about that?
Okay.
So bentgrass is a really difficult weed in lawns because it spreads by stolons, basically above ground stems. And if there's not a lot of chemical options to remove it that won't kill the other grass, so what we say is start with Roundup and kill about the whole patch and then about a foot around the patch of the existing grass. And then you can till that up and reseed into that. If you don't want to use Roundup, you can just dig it up with a shovel. So it's a very intense renovation process there. Once you've done that with Roundup, or if you remove the soil, you probably have a low chance of that coming back. So bring in some new fill, some compost, and go ahead and treat that like a new seeding. So there's bentgrass is a tough one.
Okay. All right, what about can new seed varieties be planted into existing lawns?
That's generally not a very successful practice. So usually to get new seedlings up, you need bare soil, you need to get good seed-to-soil contact, fertilize that, mulch it. So usually just throwing seed on top is a very unsuccessful practice.
Okay, and what about those plugs? Should we break those plugs up?
Yep, that's a good idea. That's you can pull the plugs up. You can leave them on the surface. It'll just take time for those to naturally break down. But if you don't like the way they look, breaking them up with a rake or anything like that is completely acceptable.
All right. Let's go to Nate in Green Bay next. Hi, Nate.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, I've got a multi-part question or multiple questions for you. I moved into a new property this past year, and the lawn was in pretty bad shape, pretty sparse with the grass and lots of weeds. So I chose to overseed this spring rather than going with a broadleaf control because it would kind of counteract. It was kind of one or the other. And the grass has come up really nicely, but I still have the weed problem. But there are a couple parts where the weeds are more predominant, where I'd like to seed once again this fall, being it's an opportune time. So my question is, should I choose again to seed, or should I go after the weeds now or wait till the spring? Because my understanding is it's not good to do both.
Well, usually the seeding issues are... you might be good in good shape here because you can go with a foliar absorbed herbicide, which will start working on the weeds. And when you add that seed into the soil, you could be okay to do both. So
that herbicide would not be a detriment to the seed growth?
Yeah, in some cases. In this case, it sounds like you want to do the herbicide application first. And the danger is you don't want to apply herbicide to young seedlings because they're very sensitive. But if you can make that application now and then get your seed out next week or something, you should be fine.
That's enough of a window.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Nate. And Bob in Wauwatosa, we're on to you. Hi, Bob.
Hi. Good morning. Another great program.
Thank you.
I've got some overseeding that I need to do in some semi-bare areas, and so I've got three kind of related questions. The first one is, when overseeding, will I get better results if I kind of scratch the seed in with a thatching rake? That's my first question.
Yeah. Absolutely. The main reason new seedlings fail is that they don't have a good contact with the seed bed, with the soil. So anything you can do to incorporate those down half inch, quarter inch is going to improve your success.
Okay, previously I tried using the thatching rake first to roughen up the soil, and then I just threw the seed down. That doesn't work.
Okay.
That just doesn't work. So this time I thought, well, I think I'll put the seed down and then kind of dig it in by using the thatching rake over the seed.
Uh-huh.
You think that'll do well?
Yeah, anything. You can use a thatching. Probably last time, if you use a thatching rake, and then you kind of brings up some soil to the surface, right?
Yeah.
And then if you would have just put that seed down, raked it in, and then tamped it, you probably would have had more success than just leaving it.
Yeah, what I didn't do was rake it in.
Yeah, so it's really not before or after. It's just raking it in, and then you want to step on
right.
it.
Not
right. Not too hard, okay. But...
And so you're better off doing both.
I get it.
Rake it in and then seed and then rake it back in
sure.
and tamp it down.
Absolutely.
Question two is about what kind of fertilizer to use at this. Well, we're in the third week of September. If I'm going to do some overseeding, should I use a starter fertilizer now, a starter or a winterizer or just a regular 33-3 turf builder, and then use the winterizer in another 6 weeks. I don't know what to do.
Okay, well, a new seeding, the first thing is you should have a soil test because the most important nutrient for new seedlings is phosphorus. And most soils, or a lot of soils around the state, have adequate levels of phosphorus for that growth, but a soil test will tell you whether or not you need it. If that's not practical, if you don't have time to do that because the turnaround time is 2 to 3 weeks, I suggest using a starter fertilizer one time in the fall. And some counties will have, or municipalities will actually have bans on using phosphorus fertilizer without showing a soil test need. But that all of the ones that I'm aware of have an exception for new seedling. You can apply a starter fertilizer once.
Well, then if I use the starter fertilizer now, which is high, which would be high P in the NPK formula, then I don't need to apply a winterizer in 6 weeks.
No.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. And we'll get to some more callers. Our guest today, Dick Soldat, is a Turfgrass UW Extension Turfgrass Specialist. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer, as we talk lawn care on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you have a lawn care question, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Doug Soldat, our guest today, our UW Extension Turfgrass Specialist. Really pleased to have him with us. Ralph in Brookfield is up next, so let's go to Ralph. Hi, Ralph.
Good morning. I have some dry patches, snaky patches in my grass. I don't know what it is or what I should do for it.
Some dry, what did you say, dry, naked?
Snaky? Yeah, little paths.
Oh, is the soil bunched up or tunnel? Is it like tunneled?
No, just flat, and there's just dry areas that kind of snake through there for a short area, and then I have some other places within the area the same way.
It sounds like a mole or a vole, some sort of rodent that's digging a tunnel there, though.
Okay.
Traps? Traps are, I mean, that's the only thing I can think of that makes a snaky pattern, and it tends to kill the roots, so you get dead grass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would look at they're called harpoon traps. Get them at most garden centers.
What kind of traps?
Harpoon traps? They're nasty-looking things. but what you should do is go out there again to those snaky areas and step on them and see if the soil gives.
Ah, okay.
And if the soil gives and it sort of indents back down, then you got a mole issue.
All right.
And then you need, and frankly, one mole or two moles can make a lot of snaky looking patches on your lawn. So if you get rid of one or two, you probably got the whole batch.
Yeah, the good news is this will recover. The grass will send out new tillers and rhizomes, and it'll fill that in pretty quickly.
Great.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Yeah, you know, I have a mole that comes along every year about this time.
Yeah.
And I've never been able to capture the little devil.
Yeah,
but the
tough.
Grass always comes back.
It does, right.
It's always back the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Julie in Prairie du Chien, it's your turn now. Hi, Julie.
Hi. Hello, good afternoon. I have a question. We have removed one and will be removing very large pine trees from our yard. And with the result of all the pine needles and pine cones, all that debris cleared out, we are planning on grinding the stump out. But what's the best way to get that soil prepared to grow some grass? It's really rooty under there where the pine tree was growing. Any suggestions for that?
Yeah, that's always tough, is seeding under areas where trees have been recently cut down. The first thing I would recommend is get a soil test. Talk to your county extension agent that can help out with that, because pH will be something that will be of primary interest to you. And then if the soil test says you need to adjust your pH, it will tell you how much lime to apply to that area. You'll need to use a rototiller to get that soil loose, and you will have a lot of difficulty with those roots, but it'll be important to loosen the soil to make a good soil environment for that to germinate.
Okay. Is it correct that because from pine trees that really adjusts the pH level in the soil? Or
it can, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, trees can affect that, but you know, probably just get the soil analyzed and figure out what it is, because I've seen cases that it doesn't affect it very much. So
okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Julie, for calling. Frank and Slinger, your turn. Hi, Frank.
Hi, how are you doing? Thanks for taking my call. Love the show.
Thank you.
Doug, I got a kind of a problem. I have a walkout basement that originally had two retaining walls on either side. Before I moved in, well, one of the walls is gone, and just recently, the second wall, that used to be about 5-foot-high cinder block cell door, it left me about a 30-degree grade that I don't want to put another retaining wall because the frost levels around the house, it ends up just pushing the walls out and knocking them down.
Okay.
I was thinking I would like to put grass on it.
Yeah.
A 30-degree grain is a pretty severe grain. Would you suggest sod or seed?
Well, the first thing is, how are you going to mow it? Is that, can you be, are you, will you be able to mow it?
Oh, yeah. Because the other side's got the same grade as where the wall used to be.
Okay. Well, they're both, there's difficulties in both. Number one, obviously this is kind of a stable slope, right? I mean, how long's it been bare sitting like that?
About 4 days.
Oh, so maybe not. Okay, so probably sod is going to be your best option. You want to lay the sod perpendicular to the slope, so it won't slide down, and you're going to need to staple it in. They make these things called sod staples that you push it in to hold that area. Since it's a small area, sod's not going to be too cost prohibitive.
Expensive, no. Yeah. I'd put sod in.
Only about 12 square feet total.
Oh, yeah. Put sod in.
Yeah.
Now, I staple it in because they suggest I stake it so it doesn't slide down the hill. Is this something I want to fertilize or treat? Because somebody told me to put a good layer of about an inch and a half of topsoil on it before I put the sod down. Is that something you would suggest?
I would doubt it. I would think that the retaining wall is made out of a pretty topsoil-like material. You can do it. Probably the best thing you want to do is get some cover on that before the rains come, before that starts to erode.
Cover so. Meaning like straw or something like that?
Or put
the sod down, yeah.
Put the sod right down right as soon as you can.
Yeah, it's pretty resilient stuff. That's going to root down into almost anything. That's one thing that's good about grass is it can survive in a lot of different soil conditions.
Terrific. That's exactly what I need to know. Thanks very much for your time.
Yep. You bet.
Thanks, Frank. And Luba in Madison, your turn now. Hi there.
Thank you. I have two questions.
Okay.
If I dig out the dandelions now and some root remains, will they come back? That's question number one.
Okay.
Number two, lawn seed used to come back, used to be sold in three values, maybe dark, medium, and light or something like that. And now it seems to be all dark. Can I get a medium?
You're talking about the color there?
Yes.
Hmm.
Well, the color is going to vary depending on the type of grass seed that you've got. I mean, if you get Kentucky bluegrass, you're going to have a kind of pretty dark green, I would think. And if you've got a, what are some other light green ones?
Well, you know, fine fescues the light green. Tall fescue might be light green. But what we've seen, and you're exactly right, is the turf grass breeders have been breeding grasses for the last 30, 40 years, maybe longer than that, to be dark green. Because Americans like dark green. You go over to Europe and they have light green grasses because they like light green over there. So a lot of the grasses you find are going to be dark green that you buy in the store.
So there's no way of getting medium. I mean, this is just for reseeding in certain areas, and I have seen areas that, not because of dogs and cats and what have you, are dark in patches because they've reseeded.
Yeah, you can really see.
And it looks ugly.
Yeah, so you kind of want to blend something in. Try it.
Yeah. So, I know I got Scott seed some in box worm, 10 years ago or something like that.
Okay.
And they had different colors, and I haven't seen any since. And
yeah, I haven't seen that either. You know, there's a mix called Madison Parks that's sold all over the state.
Mm-hmm.
That's my experiences with the grasses over the counter. That's a pretty light green grass. It doesn't say it's light green, but of the ones that I've seen, that might match in pretty good.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for
The dandelions.
Oh,
we
yeah.
didn't talk
oh,
about,
sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, 4 to 5 inches. You got to get the taproot down at least that deep. If you don't get it 4 to 5 inches deep, it probably will come back. Those things, sometimes I wonder if they wrap around the core of the earth.
Yeah. Well, that's good news because I can get at least that out.
Okay,
all
good.
Right.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Should have pretty good success with that, Luba. Gary in La Crosse, we're on to you now. Hi, Gary.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
Hey, I've got an unusual problem. I live down in Coon Valley, and the last 3 years, every time it rains, I get a couple about 6-inch round dead spots in my grass. I've got a healthy yard. I do the Scott's treatment 4 times a year, almost no weeds. It's pretty full, but every time it rains, I get these spots And they grow back, you know, in a normal cycle. A couple of mowings, you can't tell where they were. It rains again, I get two or three more spots in a different place. I've tried grub control. That didn't do it. And, you know, different fertilizers, but I still get them.
What do these spots look
like?
Yeah,
how big are they?
They're about 6 inches round.
And they're round? Perfectly?
They're round.
Perfectly?
Almost perfectly round. Almost like I'm getting small UFOs.
Sounds like dollar spot.
And they're yellow?
No, well, they're brown. The grass has died, actually. It looks like the grass is dead. If you reach down and grab it, they're dried up.
You know, that is
but
really...
But within a couple of weeks, you know, they've grown back.
That's really weird. I've never heard anything like that. What you can do is talk to your county agent. We have a turf grass diagnostic laboratory that investigates really weird stuff, and this is at the top of the list from things I've heard.
Usually, yeah, because my neighbors don't have it.
Yeah, and every time it rains, I mean, I've never heard anything that shows up after it rains. That's
no.
Strange.
Do you have a dog?
Nope. And there's only one dog in the neighborhood, and I've kept, you know, I kind of give it the ugly eye, but I don't think they know they're doing it.
Well, so,
you're in La Crosse?
Well, actually, I live in Coon Valley.
Coon Valley. What county are you in?
Vernon County.
Vernon County. Okay. Contact your cooperative extension office. Talk to them about the problem and see if you can get a sample sent down to the turfgrass diagnostic lab.
Okay. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Yeah, that is a real strange one.
Yeah.
Perfectly round, you know, when you see that in the spring and so forth, you think about things like dollar spot or something like that.
Yeah. Sometimes there are diseases, but boy.
Well, you know what? When you find out, Gary, let us know, will you?
Call us
back. Yeah, once you find out what that is, send us an email. Let us know or call us the next time Doug's on. Beth in Black River Falls, it's your turn now. Hi, Beth.
Hi. I want to know if it's of any advantage to dethatch lawn in the fall, or is it a waste, and should I just wait till springtime to dethatch my yard?
Well, how much thatch do you have? You know?
No.
When was the last time you dethatched?
Well, quite a while. We've aerated. We usually aerate the yard once a year.
Okay.
And we have someone come with a lawn tractor that has, you know, a bagger on the back and can get closer than we can because ours is just a mulching mower. But I haven't dethatched for a long time.
Okay. Well, the first thing you want to do is just take a look and see if thatch is a pretty easy thing to see. Take a, I use steak knives. My wife hates that, but cut something out like a little triangle, pull it up, and if you don't have an inch of thatch, I would recommend just leaving it alone because what you're doing when you're dethatching is you're causing a pretty significant stress on the plant. If you don't have an inch, just wait. And
well, that's what I needed to know. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Yeah, that raises Cain with the grass when you do that. I mean, so if you don't need to do it, don't do it.
Don't do it.
All right. Hector in Eau Claire, your turn. Hi, Hector.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I guess I just had some advice for a previous caller that had problems with moles.
With moles, yeah.
Digging through their yard. A neighbor of mine has a huge garden. And he was having the same problems, and he wasn't too keen on catching him that way with a trap. He purchased it's like a windmill type thing that's about a 14-foot pole that you bury down about 2 or 3 feet, and it's got a windmill on the top. And as the windmill turns in the wind, it's got, I believe, like ball bearings in it that create noises that send it through the ground, actually. Keep them away from his garden.
So they don't like the vibrations.
Right, right. And it sends that, and then it kind of bothers them and sends them out. I mean, it works because they ended up in my yard. but it kept them away from the garden. And, you know, they made their way to my other neighbor on the other side, which had no problems with the traps. But, you know, he wasn't too keen on catching them and having to dispose of them. So, I guess a little more humane way of doing that, you know, it's very effective. And it's not an eyesore, you know, it actually looks kind of nice out there.
Is there a special name for it, the mole windmill or something?
I have no idea. I don't know where he purchased it from, but it's just a long pole and it's got a small I would say the windmill is about, the blades are about maybe a foot and a half in diameter.
Yeah.
And it's on a swivel, so it, you know, it turns with the wind, and you know, it blows nicely, and it rotates nicely in the wind, and you know, you don't hear the sound outside, but it sends the vibration noises through the ground and actually keeps them away. So.
Sure. Wow, that's great.
I mean, like I said, his was for a garden. I don't know. I think your previous caller was just because of just grass problems, possibly, but it's perfect for a garden. You know, he has it in the middle. His garden is about 30 by 30, and he's got it set right in the middle, and it's done wonders for him. So I don't know exactly where to get it, but if you don't want to use the traps, that's an alternative.
I just went online and looked, and there are several mole windmills out there. And they claim to, cover or take care of an area 100 feet in diameter, they say. So
that's probably why it ended up in my other neighbor's yard on the other side.
Yeah, you won't make too many friends in the neighborhood that way.
No, but they have cats, so they help them. The cats like to chase the moles around, too, and dig them up. So.
Thanks, Hector.
Yep, not a problem.
It's something new I learned. I have never heard of the mole windmill
me
before.
Either.
Well, I might have to think about that. John in La Crescent, Minnesota, we're on to you. Hi, John.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Here's my situation. I had tied a couple of nice rope swings under a big tree in my backyard, and of course kids use the swings, and then you get those nice spots of, you know, bare
right
through the lawn. Well, what had happened in our early, you know, summer, late spring, we had the pretty heavy rains, and I had a lot of, you know, soil displacement and such, and it's, you know, they're crevices are deep enough that, you know, you actually twist an ankle in there. So I was wondering, with the approaching fall, what steps should I take to kind of fill that in and get some grass going again?
Are the kids going to be using it again next year?
Oh, I would think so, yeah.
Okay.
Well, another option might just be putting some bark or a non-turf.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's kind of what I had a thought of. But the problem is that there's a gradient that any rain is going to wash that bark down toward a neighbor's yard and stuff. So I was thinking of maybe putting up a little, you know, kind of retaining, you know, boards and whatnot, kind of hold it up and make an area like that. But just a little fear for all the kids in our neighborhood use our yard as the playground and, you know, running around, tripping on that.
Well, you can fix it, I guess, Doug. You can put that grass back in, but it's going to come back out again next year, would be my guess.
Yeah,
I guess my main thing is making sure I fill it properly, so at least the, you know, the dirt is stable. I can make it somewhat flat, but
yeah,
you're gonna have a problem there because it's so compacted. Anything you do when you loosen it up to smooth it out, you still have this compacted layer below, and those rains are gonna just preferentially wash that new bed down. So, if you're really bent on getting grass there, find a place where you can get sod and just keep sodding it.
Otherwise,
if you can build, probably the best option, most sustainable thing would be to build some sort of retaining structure and just engineer it so the soil stays in place.
Yeah, well, that makes me lean a little bit more towards the chips then. So okay, well, I sure appreciate the help, gentlemen.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Good luck, John.
And it was under a tree too, so that's not a good place to be growing grass without all the stress.
Pat in East Troy is up next. Hi, Pat.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. In reference to the very last caller, I have the same situation under a big oak tree with a long rope swing, and I'm planning to find AstroTurf and put it down with some of those staples you were talking about.
Uh-huh.
And I gave up long ago trying to grow anything there.
Yeah.
I have a lot of that sort of thing on my fairly large yard. And I found something at one of the big box stores called Expert Gardener for sun and shade, high traffic areas, grass seed. And for a very high price compared to everything else there, I bought 7 pounds of this, which is supposed to cover 4,000 square feet. But I want to know what I've done. I've already put it down, and it's already sprouting.
Mm-hmm.
On one very unlikely place. And so I went ahead and used the rest of the bag, and I want to know, what have I done to myself, to my yard? It says 39 percent...
Tall fescue.
Boreal, creeping red fescue.
Okay.
And 24% bluegrass, 14% pinnacle, perennial ryegrass, and then we go into more and more ryegrass.
Yeah. I would say you overpaid for that, because that sounds like a pretty standard over-the-counter mix of, of the fescue and the bluegrass and the perennial rye. If I were going to sell a grass to you that would be do well in sun and shade and traffic, it would be tall fescue. Problem with tall fescue in this area is if you get ice, anything associated with ice, it will kill the grass. It's fine with snow, and it's fine with cold temperatures, but once it gets ice cover, it dies. But that's actually what I have in my lawn, and it does well in shade, it does well in sun, and it's very traffic tolerant. But what you just read off is a pretty standard sun-shade mix that I wouldn't expect to perform any differently than anything else that we typically buy.
Well, at least it doesn't have anything noxious and undesirable.
No, not undesirable at all. Just pretty common to the mixes.
Okay, well, I'll stack it up to experience, and thank you for helping me.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Yeah, use it. It'll be fine.
Sure.
But you just probably paid too much. Let's go to Brad in Monroe next. Hello, Brad.
Hi. I've been in my house for like 8 or 9 years now, and every spring I have to do the same thing. I have a huge maple tree in the center of the yard, and I've got some out on the terrace. So it does get shaded a lot during the summertime, and I have to reseed every spring in the whole front part of the yard there. And you know, during the summer when it gets dry, I water all the time, and it looks really great. Now it's starting to look a little bit peaked now, but it's coming back because of the rain. But every spring, this whole big spot out in the front is usually half to three-quarters dead. So every year I get a bag of seed, 20-pounder, put it on there, rake it in, comes in looking great, and every spring it's the same thing. I've tried not blowing the snow from the driveway onto it, tried not shoveling from the sidewalk onto it, and it doesn't make a bit of difference.
Yeah, that's just a tough place, especially with maples. It's a tough place to grow grass. So what's happening there is the plant's not able to manufacture enough carbohydrates and sugars to get it through the winter or through the summer stress period. So it's just constantly weak. And the first sign of stress, that stuff checks out.
So I just got to say, hey, I'm going to go buy another bag of grass seed this spring and put it on.
Yeah, or another bag of wood chips, or, you know, it's just something else besides grass, because that's a problem that you're not going to solve.
It's like the whole yard, it's probably a 50 by 30 spot, you know, where it doesn't get the really warm midday sun.
Yeah.
You can tell it just starts getting weak, and I do have to water a lot, because those trees suck a lot of water out of the lawn. And I'm sure my neighbors think I'm crazy, but I water a lot during the summer when it gets dry, and they don't, and their grass looks fine. Mine looks not so good. So.
Well, and your roots on those maples are 4 inches below the soil, so they're not very far down there.
Right.
And they're taking advantage of all that water that you're putting on.
And I've tried more expensive seed. I've spent the money for the Madison Parks blends, and I've just got the generic Walmart blends, and they all do the same thing.
One thing that you might want to look at is look at that maple tree itself. Are there limbs that you could take out of that tree that would open up the canopy a little bit and get a little more sun in there? That would be the only thing that comes to my mind, Doug.
I had it thinned out a couple of years ago. I had had some low ones that were almost touching the roof of my garage, and that did help, but it's just a full canopy because it touches over into the ones on the terrace. It's a big old beautiful tree, and some people are like, "Well, cut it down." No, I'm not. But
I think you're going to be buying that bag of seed every spring.
All right, I just thought maybe I was missing something.
Yeah, the best if you want to try the best grass that you can get would be 100% fine fescue. Chewing's fescue or hard fescue is going to give you your best shot. So it's the most shade tolerant, most drought tolerant, really slow growing. It has a little different look to it than you might be used to, but probably the best grass for that situation. But it doesn't like wet, so maybe that'll give you an opportunity to cut down on the watering. So it will do well in drier conditions.
All right, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks, Brad, for calling. Appreciate it. Doug Soldat, UW Extension turf grass specialist, our guest here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio on this edition of Garden Talk. You're listening to Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here with Doug Soldat, UW Extension turf grass and soil specialist. Glad to have him with us today. Ann and Madison's up next. But before we go to Ann, if you have a question, give us a call at 800-642-1234. And now let's turn to Ann. Hi, Ann.
Oh, actually, it's Diane, and I'm calling with a problem of pampas grass. We planted it at the edge of our lawn a few years ago, and now it's become very aggressive. It's the wild type that you see growing along the roadsides, and we can't get rid of it. We've tried herbicide. We've tried cutting off all the seed heads, and it continues to spread. Any suggestions for controlling it?
Have you tried Roundup?
I'm not sure. My husband says no, we haven't tried Roundup.
That's going to give you your best shot because Roundup will be absorbed by the leaves, translocated down into the roots. So the problem is the pampas grass has underground parts that allow it to regenerate. So a Roundup will translocate down to those parts and kill it. The other thing you could do is just take a shovel and dig, and bring in new fill to get rid of some of those parts.
Okay, thank you. And when should we apply the Roundup?
Now is great.
Oh, okay. Good. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Well, thanks a lot for calling. Should see some results in, few days?
Yeah, Roundup's takes a while to show, so you apply it, and now you might not see anything for 2 weeks, up to 2 weeks. So be patient with that, because it takes a long time for that Roundup to move to the parts where it does its job.
And a couple of other things on it. As I recall, the temperature has to be 50 or better, or is that a mistake on my part?
Well, we say it's a good time to apply Roundup now or in the next couple of weeks because when the fall cool temperatures start coming, plants start sending things down into those underground plant parts.
So this is a really good time to do it.
So this is the time, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Doug and Cudahy, it's your turn. Hi, Doug.
How you doing today?
Good.
Just got a quick question for you. I'm really proud of my lawn. I got Kentucky bluegrass back in front, virtually weed free. I just treated it about 4 weeks ago with a standard weed in feed. I had a few broadleaves popping up here and there. But now that it's virtually free of weeds and really no major issues, I just wanted to discuss Milorganite as opposed to weed in feed as more of a safer option. And you know, with the iron content, is that going to give me a deeper, green, lusher lawn, or would you stay with the standard weed and feed?
Milorganite's a good option. The thing about all organic fertilizers, and Milorganite included, is that they're most active when the soil temperatures are warm. So time in the summer is when that material, when the microbes break it down and convert it into forms of nitrogen that the plant can use. In the fall, it's not going to do too much. So it's a better fertilizer for June compared to now where we're getting into late September. But it's a good option, absolutely.
Okay, so what I want basically is to keep that lush green color throughout, you know, the end of fall here. I know we're getting to the end of the season. What would be my best bet? Or, you know, it's green right now, just let it ride.
Yeah, let it ride. Because, you know, you don't want to overdo it. Because with Kentucky bluegrass especially, you can run into some pretty heavy thatch accumulation. And things look great now and you think more is better. But that's not always the case. If it looks good, just leave it. Just leave
it. Okay, will do. Thank you for your help.
Yeah, thanks, Doug. And Melissa in La Crosse, it's your turn. Hi, Melissa.
Good morning. Thank you.
Sure.
We had to regrade the front of our home, and so then we have half a lawn that's dirt and half a lawn that's lawn. So we seeded about 4 weeks ago with just a standard bag kind of seed, and it said to make sure you do it before at least 6 weeks before the first frost. Now, it's coming up quite well in most areas, but we've got a lot of patchy areas. Is that just the mix in there and it takes longer for some, or should we reseed and can we mow?
Okay, well, we'll start with the the patchy areas, I would definitely go out and reseed those. What happened there, just some localized spots that didn't come up for whatever reason, that's really common with new seedlings. So go ahead and do that now. This is the perfect time to do it. Get some good soil coverage like we talked about earlier in the show. Make sure that you tamp that area down. You bury the seeds a quarter to a half inch and you tamp it down, and that should come up for you. How tall is the other seedlings that are up? How tall are they?
The stuff that's up, I want to say, is probably about 4 inches.
Oh, yeah, you need to mow it, definitely.
Okay.
And don't mow it too low, so just go out with the 3 inches. But that's going to actually force more shoots to come up, and it'll help that thicken up. But you can cause some damage by letting that get too tall.
Okay, yeah, I was wondering. I'm like, we should or we shouldn't, yeah.
Yeah,
okay,
there's no harm in that. No harm in it all.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. And on to Judy in Appleton. Hi, Judy.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
We have a 3-year-old lawn. It was new lawn, and the lawn has responded well to whatever we've done to treat it. However, this year, we've had an encroachment of broadleaf, or I call it quackgrass, and I don't know how to get rid of that. Plus, I'm getting a few sickles coming up here and there. It used to be farmland.
Okay, so you say broadleaf or quackgrass? Because broadleaves are, quackgrass is a grass, and broadleaves are other things. So you have...
Uh-oh, it's probably quackgrass.
It's quackgrass?
Yep.
And how do you know? What does it look like, or, I mean...
It's coming up in clumps. There's maybe 5 or 6 stems, and it's very broad.
So big, fat, lime green stems?
Yes.
Okay, so quackgrass, unfortunately, is one of the most difficult grassy weeds to control. And again, this is one of the grasses that has the underground rhizomes, which make it very difficult. Even if you remove all the tops of it, it'll come back up.
Okay.
So if you're really concerned about it, you can talk to a lawn care professional. They have access to different chemicals that might be able to control that. Digging it up is an option if it's early, if it's not too much. You said that this is just starting to show?
There's patches throughout the lawn, unfortunately.
Yeah. So
we may have to get something stronger then.
Yeah, I would talk to, it might be good to talk to your county agent to make sure that it's quackgrass, because it could.
Okay.
There are other grasses that can look like it that are easier to control, and they can give you the best recommendations.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. I have an email from Vicki in Brule. She says, I've gotten good results keeping weeds out by mowing our lawn fairly high. I want to mow short the last time or two so the leaves blow away easier. And I'd like to do an overseeding. So she's, will these last couple short mowings delete all the benefits of previously keeping it long? Will the spring weeds get a jump start then in the spring?
Yeah, that's a practice that used to be pretty common, is mowing the grass really short down in the fall, and that's typically not recommended anymore because the fall is the best time. Right now the grass is really taking in the sunlight during the day, translocating those sugars to the roots and storing a lot of food for the winter. Mowing it short just reduces that leaf area and slows that process down. So if you can avoid it, keep mowing it high the whole winter long.
All right.
The whole fall.
All right. And we've still got a lot of time to mow yet.
Yeah, we do.
Amy in Cross Plains, hi.
Hi. I want to plant like maybe a 600-square-foot area with daffodils.
Okay.
And I was trying to think of the easiest way to do that. Can I like get a sod cutter and roll the sod back and put the bulbs in and roll it back down, because I can't imagine digging 600 individual holes. So what would you recommend?
Well, 600. Wow, that's a lot of daffodils. Sod cutter is an option. You can rent that at a rent store, and they're pretty fairly easy to operate. Roll it back. Yeah, you know, you're in a good time for cutting sod and rolling it back and having a high chance of it succeeding. So you can try that.
You can try it.
Good luck.
Well, I'll call you back if it doesn't work.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Amy. Oh, boy. Ann in Toma. Hi to you.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
We have some, it's a creeping plant. We call it Creeping Charlie. I don't know if that's the correct name for it. And it just keeps taking over the whole lawn.
Yep.
How do we get rid of that?
Well, that's one of the most difficult lawn weeds to control and one of our most frequently asked questions. So now is a good time, or in the next couple weeks, to apply a broadleaf herbicide that you can buy from any garden center. That should knock it back a little bit, and maybe another application in the spring when it starts to flower, and then you try it again next fall. The other thing to consider is what are the growing conditions in that area. Generally tends to be shaded, compacted, not good types of sites for growing grass. So anything you can do to improve the conditions for growing grass is going to help keep the Creeping Charlie back.
Mm-hmm. And good luck with that. Doug Soldat, our guest here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller. My guest today, Doug Soldat, UW Extension Turfgrass and Urban Soil Scientist, with us today to talk with you about your lawn. So give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. And Ann and Toma had a problem with also bamboo plants on her lawn. And I'm wondering, not as likely to be bamboo as maybe something else, Doug?
It could be a plant that might resemble bamboo. It's called horsetail equisetum species. But, you know, whether or not it's horsetail or bamboo, I think the control method is going to be the same, which is dig it out with a shovel. I mean, because there are no herbicides that will really effectively control this. So it's a rare thing, but unfortunately, it's really difficult to control.
So dig it out.
Dig
That's
it
what you
out,
have to do.
Yeah.
Let's go to Jay in Eau Claire next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, I have a question. I put some walkways in my house or my driveway and stuff, and I backfilled it, seeded it, and it all came in real nice. And now some of the areas I used the extra dirt to fill in some low spots around the fire pit and along the driveway, they came in really, really well, and now within the last couple weeks they've thinned out bare spots. I was just wondering if it's going to come back next year, or should I reseed it quick this year?
When you say thinned out, you mean it all started to kick the bucket, or...
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's just real, really thin and right down to bare dirt again in a lot of spots. But it was really came in really nice and thick, but now it's just patchy and bare. And
okay, my guess is you probably put too many seeds down. Okay. And often when we see that, we see a really good, really dense green, but then they're too close together and they end up kind of competing themselves to death. So I would say you're probably out of luck. You want to go, but you know there's still time to seed. Just go back, mix in fewer seeds than you did last time, and give it a shot.
Okay. How much coverage should there be, I guess?
Yeah, this is difficult for small areas because you're basically taking a handful. But the appropriate rate we say is maybe 10 seeds per square inch. So if you can visualize a square inch, maybe 10 seeds is a good number. So if you are shaking that out with your hand, you want to have, you know, just look at any given area and see if it's about 10 seeds per square inch. That's about the right rate.
Okay.
So just a good even coverage, though.
Good even coverage, but then once you see you have the right rate, you still want to mix those in, incorporate it, and tamp that down.
Okay. All righty.
Thanks a lot for calling.
All right. Thank you.
I have an email from Tom in Plover, Wisconsin, who's been working on reestablishing some of the neglected areas of his lawn over the last several years. Been coming along quite well. The problem he has with his lawn is the lawn is uneven and rough. Apparently, he didn't do a good job or a good enough job leveling the area before seeding. Is there a way to level out his lawn without having to dig up the yard and reseeding?
There's some options. None of them are really quick fixes. By pulling cores and aerifying that lawn, you have an opportunity to even out some of the high spots. Another option would be to add a top dressing material like compost or something that, that can fill in the low areas. If you're really ambitious, you can rent a roller when the soil is somewhat moist, so you can actually push down some of the high spots and smooth it out. But I would think that there are some options that you can get away with without totally renovating it.
Yeah, we had that issue, and the plugs, we've moved those plugs around after you go through the lawn and aerate the lawn and move those plugs around to the low spots. And,
yep.
And it looks kind of messy for a few days, but then it seems to sort of all disappear.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Joe in Pewaukee has a garden about 20 by 20, which he wants to turn into a grass lawn. This is another email. There are some clovers and weeds growing in it. Gets very little sunlight. How should he seed it or sod it for the shade? And does he need to treat the clovers and weeds before doing so?
Yeah, you definitely want to get rid of the clovers and the weeds. You might be able to do that just mechanically by tilling the plants up. You could choose an option like Roundup where you control them chemically. But you want to remove the weeds before you go in and do anything. And he said it's shade. So, again, probably one of our better grasses for the long term. And the shade is going to be a fine fescue.
And the sods are typically Kentucky bluegrass.
Yeah. Sod's probably not the best choice for this. Kentucky bluegrass likes full sun. Yeah. So while it looked good for the first year, it's going to start to decline after that.
Ron in Madison, your turn now. Hi, Ron.
Hello. My question is the process you noted for seeding was raking, seeding, raking. Is the second raking to cover the seed? Because some people suggests using the back of the rake for the second raking, and then you're not covering the seeds with a fine coating of dirt.
Yeah, so the first thing you want to do when you're establishing an area is make the soil loose. So create some air spaces that the roots can grow into. Then you apply the seed and the fertilizer or the lime. And then what you want to do is mix the seed into that loosened dirt or loosened soil patch. And then you can do that by raking. And after you've done that, you want to tamp that area down so you get good contact with the seed and the soil. If you leave the seeds on the surface, you have almost no chance of success or very limited chance of success.
So is an option raking, seeding, and then covering that seed with a loose topsoil dirt?
Yeah, you can cover it. You don't want to cover it too deep, but a quarter inch. And then when you say loose, that's fine, but you need to tamp that area down. If you leave it loose, that's not a good thing to do.
Okay, and would you put the fertilizer on at that point?
You'd actually want to work the fertilizer in into the soil, into the loose soil. You can put the fertilizer down first when you're loosening it up.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Ron. Mike and Amory, your turn. Hi, Mike.
Good afternoon. I live in a rural area just northeast of the city of Amory. It's basically a 7-acre hobby farm. So I have a lot of grass to mow, and my grass is in generally pretty poor condition. There's one area that I'm really concerned with. It's just on the shady side of a lilac bush. It's there's a growth there that I can only describe as mold. It looks like green mold, and it's about maybe a 2-foot by 10-foot patch. I kind of describe it as green Velcro is kind of what it looks like. Can you tell me what that is and how I can get rid of it?
It sounds like maybe moss.
Moss. It's probably a moss.
Moss or algae or something.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like a very
my
short
guess is
moss. It, when you run your fingers over it. It feels kind of fuzzy, and it's very, very short. It might be maybe a millimeter tall. That's about it.
Yeah, that sounds like moss to me, and that's because you have shade and you have wet conditions where that moss can grow, and the turf doesn't like that.
Uh-huh. So what's the best way to
Well, the
eradicate it.
The best way would be to cut down everything around it and let the light in.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that you can eradicate it, but you know what? The turf grass isn't really going to grow in that area. It's going to be a continual struggle. So, the environment is what's causing that.
Oh, so it's mainly because of the shade?
It's yes. Because of the shade and the moisture, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you might be tempted to live with it, or you might be tempted to do some opening up of the lilac. It's a lilac bush. Is that what it is?
Yes, it is. Now, let's assume I do. What if I remove the lilac bush, and now it's open to sun? I still need to get rid of that moss and replant with
grass. The moss. You won't have any trouble getting rid of the moss if it's dry and
dry it out. Yeah,
it'll dry it right out, and you can work in.
Just till it up, yeah. Just let it dry out, till it up, and if you got sun and good drainage there, you should have no problem establishing grass. That moss isn't going to be persistent once you change those environmental conditions.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks. And if you don't want to get rid of the lilac, you can cut it back. Take about a third a year, and about a third of those stems out, the biggest ones, and that's going to open it up too. And if you wanted to keep the lilac, you could kind of work it that way. And Mark in Milwaukee, your turn. Hi, Mark.
Hi, I've got two questions. Actually, this is for a lawn that's in Ozaukee County. Heavy clay kind of concentration. It's the second year of the lawn. I've actually done a good job this year bringing it back because it's very bad this spring. My questions are two questions. First one is in regard to aeration. How do you know whether or not you should do it? When should you do it? And how does that work in a heavy clay soil? I remember as a kid seeing, them aerate the football field, which was a lot of dirt that left all these little clumps up there. But this clay, I don't know that, what do you do in a clay?
Well, aeration, aerification is a good option for compacted areas.
Yeah, especially clay.
Clay is really susceptible to compaction. So this could be a good solution for you. Pulling those cores out creates a big hole where roots can grow, and it basically makes the clay have a better growing environment. The best time to do it's now. If you do it in the spring, that soil that you bring up can allow weed seeds to germinate. So fall is a good time to aerify. And I think if you have a clay, it's probably you're going to see some positive benefits to that.
Yeah. Good luck. Thank you. And let's see. Another email from Michelle in Black River Falls has a weed in her lawn she can't identify. It's a creeping weed, easy to pull from the ground, slightly sticky with a pungent odor, bright green and with multiple leaves. From this description, can you tell me the name of the weed? My baby doll sheep will eat most of the weeds in my yard, but they avoid this one.
Does it sound like? It sounds like Creeping Charlie to me, maybe.
Yeah, I wish I had.
It's in the mint family, so it does have a pungent smell to it. But it's unfortunately, that's too difficult to identify weeds by descriptions. The best thing to do is to bring a sample into your county extension agent, and they can identify it for you and give you some good control options.
And let's go to Teresa in Mundelein, Illinois next. Hi, Teresa.
What are you listening to?
Teresa, are you there? Oh. I think we lost her. Let's go to, Steve in Iola is up next. Hi, Steve.
Hello.
I have a
problem with poison ivy, where I have planted some hardwood trees, and the poison ivy is growing up in the grass around there. And I want to know what I can do to kill them that won't kill the young trees.
Boy, that's one I don't have much experience with. I would think most broadleaf herbicides are going to be safe if to apply right now to the poison ivy without harming the trees. Just make sure that you're getting the application onto the poison ivy and not non-target areas.
Okay, now if the broadleaf herbicide hits the bark, is that...
No, it's not going to hurt it.
That's not going to hurt it.
Not the bark.
As long as I keep it off the leaves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Would Roundup be a good one?
Roundup will kill it.
Roundup would get it. For sure.
But you have to be careful about how you apply it, because it'll kill the grass around it, too, if you don't spot apply it. Sometimes people use a rubber glove, and then they put a cloth glove over that, and then they kind of, you know, put their glove into the Roundup mixture and then just run it over the leaves with their hands, and that's a way of doing it without making contact with the other grasses and so forth.
Oh, well, the grass would probably come back next year, wouldn't it?
Not if it's, well, it could maybe grow back in. I don't know. What do you think, Doug?
Yeah, some grasses will, some won't. It depends on how much Roundup that you get on the surrounding grasses.
Uh-huh.
So,
okay.
Be a little careful.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks. Lawrence in Minocqua, your turn. Hi, Lawrence.
Yes, I'm glad to talk to you, gentlemen. I live on a lake back in the woods in this area, and over the years, the water running down from the hill upon which I live down to the lake has washed sand away from various clumps of dirt, grass, beg your pardon. And now, you know, it's so bumpy to walk down anywhere over, well, I'd say, three-quarters of an acre down to the lake down in there that it's almost impossible to walk, and I don't know how to fix that.
So you got clumps of sand that is...
I've got clumps of dirt. In other words, let's say they're little round circles of grass growing, and they grow well. And suddenly, as the water runs down, it washes all of the sand around the clumps of grass, so
yeah,
that
bumpy.
Now you've got low spots and little high spots where the clumps of grass are.
Yeah.
So that's
all over the area.
Right. So that, I mean, that just emphasizes the importance of having a dense ground cover to prevent erosion. So the reason is you don't have a good ground cover, you get runoff, and that will preferentially move that soil from the areas without good vegetative cover. So you're probably going to need to renovate the area and get a good dense stand of grass growing there to prevent further erosion. But I don't think there's much you can do just to prevent the bumpiness without renovating.
By renovating, you mean essentially what?
Basically starting over and regrading the site. I guess it matters on how extensive this bumpiness is, but you need to establish grass in those areas where the water is taking it away.
Rather difficult to grow grass up here because of the sandy soil.
Okay.
Would you think I should have a truck come and, say, drop off about 10 yards of black dirt and then try to spread it over the whole area?
You know, sometimes bringing in black dirt causes more problems than it solves because of the weed seeds or the other things that are in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are probably shoreline restoration groups that would be happy to talk to you about other options besides grass if that's part of the issue.
There are some native plants that will do well. I mean, it's not going to be a lawn, but you're going to have some native grasses that will grow well in that type of situation, and why not, you know, plant those native grasses and go from there?
Do you have a suggestion for the name of the seed I should buy?
Well, there are a lot of nurseries that I think can deal with that issue, and there are some in your area, I'm pretty sure, in Minocqua area. I know there are some nurseries in that area that could help you out with that. Neil Diebel of Prairie Nursery comes to mind as a real expert on this topic. He's our guest next week on Garden Talk on Friday, as a matter of fact. So you might wait and ask him next week. But if you want to get started now, I'd start with a local center, a landscaping or gardening firm in the Minocqua area that knows a little about native plants, and consider that. It's worth considering, I think. And good luck. And thanks a lot for calling. You know, we had Doris from Shawano County who has a perennial garden. She had a perennial garden 10 by 70 smothered by black plastic for 16 months. So she has rather heavy soil. It's sloping. Is it too late to cultivate it up and seed down now, or would next spring be better to start new grass?
Do it this weekend. This is perfect. But if you wait till next weekend, it might be too late. But right now, the weather forecast, I think you're in a good spot to do that.
What would be suitable for a cover over seeding to avoid soil gullies from watering or rains?
Can you say that again?
Yeah, she wants some sort of cover, straw or something to put over to avoid.
Oh, right. Yeah, so straw is a good option. There's also a polymer that's on the market. It's called PAM-12 that also does a very good job of preventing erosion. So straw is the most traditional, but there are other polymers that are available for doing that.
PAM-12, you say?
Yeah, yeah, it's a really neat product.
Lydia in Ashland, we're on to you now. Hi, Lydia.
Hello. I think you did answer part of this question, but I have a lawn service, and I have one more weed and feed application coming, and I'm having aeration this year. Now, what should I have first?
Let's see. Probably the weed application.
First. Okay, and then later the aeration.
Yeah. Yeah.
When they get those plugs up, if I want to, is there any thing about putting grass seed in those holes, or doesn't that work?
People do that, but I'm not sure how successful that is.
Uh-huh.
Really, the way to be successful is to have some sort of steel drag mat that will break the cores up, and then you can add seed into that loose mixture.
Oh, yeah.
But that can be damaging and probably not needed on most lawns.
Otherwise, just leave them kind of...
Just leave it, yeah.
Yeah. You know, if you have a minute, I have a something about that man that called up about the circles, remember? You said you didn't have a clue?
Yeah.
Well, I had this weird thing happen. It happened a couple of years ago, too, and I live on the edge of a creek, and right alongside my driveway, right immediately after, you know, from... directly onto my driveway, there's two big triangular where the grass is just gone, and there's two of them like that. Then that goes around the bend to the street, and along the street for at least 50 feet, there is circle after circle. Now, someone said something, and I do have deer and bear and whatever up here, so could that be a marking of some kind of an animal?
It could be. That could be anything. The thing that was stumping me was it shows up after it rains. Usually things go away. Spots go away after it rains. It could be.
Could be. Well, you know, there are some pathogens out there that can create problems on turf. You know, dollar spot comes to my mind because those spots can get to be fairly large. But I don't know. We're going to have to let that one go for next time. Doug, thank you so much. It's been
you.
A real pleasure. And you'll come back, of course.
Oh, yeah. I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Doug Soldat, our guest. We'll have him back and we'll do this again. Sorry we didn't get to everybody, either the emails or the calls. But we'll have him back and you can ask him again. He is a UW Extension turfgrass and urban soils scientist, assistant professor in the Department of Soil Science at the UW-Madison College of Ag and Life Sciences. So happy to have him along. Just looking ahead to next week, on Monday at 11, Dr. Dick Niles has some advice for us on our skin, dermatologist. And then at 11:45, Dr. Lowell Lakritz takes a look at our teeth. All that coming up on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.